Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A couple of people chiming in. Guys, I was 9 years old living in New Mexico, and our house had a sunroom that overlooked the surrounding desert. And I'd go there every once in a while to watch the lightning storms that were common to the area. Now, on the day in question, as I looked out across a nearby creek bed, I caught sight of a glowing sphere that looked to be about the size of a basketball.
All right.
So after it had gone, vanished, I went and told my mom what I'd seen. And she said, if I repeat the story to my dad, maybe he can help explain what was going on and the rarity of what I saw. Also told me that some people don't believe what I saw. So I would say 19 years until someone actually confirmed the existence of ball lightning, I thought I saw a UFO. I felt a little bit vindicated. Also relieved to know that I hadn't imagined the entire thing.
Yeah.
So there's ball lightning.
Yeah, there is ball lightning.
Yeah. But he thought he didn't know what he was looking at. 14 years old. 9 years old.
If you don't know what ball lightning is, you definitely wouldn't know. I know what ball lightning is, and I'm not sure that I would know it's ball lightning if I saw it.
So it's just hanging up and just suspended.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about it. Like, they said it might move a little bit, but it's not.
It doesn't strike.
It doesn't strike the ground and disappear.
There's kinda, like, strikes moving off of it, but it's like a glowing orb.
But huh. It kind of hangs there, and yeah. Then it's just gone. Yeah, so if you don't know, like I said,
so if it bumps
I've
into
heard
you,
of
that'd
it.
Be good.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK.
You know it exists now, but I'm a thrill. Even if you saw it, you'd still be like, what the
what
hell?
What the F was that?
Yeah. Oh, one more real quick. I like this one. Cracked two double yolk eggs back-to-back. Never had one before or since. It's the essiest lottery anyone will ever win.
Yeah. I've never had the double yolk
I've had egg. A double yolk once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You said you had a chicken once, too.
I had a chicken once and a double egg, a double yolk.
I've never had a double yolk or chicken, but when I was a kid, my mom was cracking eggs, and there was one with a lot of blood in it. And the yolk part,
I've seen that. I've
that
seen
that. Freaked me out.
I don't know if I've ever cracked a random double yolk, but I swear that they sell eggs double yolk.
How do you know it's double yolk?
I don't know, but I swear I once saw like a carton of like double yolk eggs.
Yeah. Do they charge you extra? Because they say there's a dozen eggs, but you got 24 yolks.
I think so. And the thing is that my random double yolk came when I was baking.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
I was making, I think it was during the pandemic or something like that, and I cracked it.
You should bake more often then.
It's like it counts for one egg, so it's like, is this two? Did I just ruin the
recipe?
You need
the egg whites.
That is a good question.
Right?
So it calls for one egg, right? You're baking, and everything in baking is precise. So
now the yolks are
the
yolks are smaller. So the two yolks equal
are they
the
smaller?
Size. Yeah, one.
All right,
totally.
I mean, it's one in 1,000. So as many eggs as people eat, it's not that crazy. Like I've had one before.
Sure,
I've had the last weird egg I had was the yolk was about the color red. It looked like it was
yeah.
it was red red.
What does that mean? Is that blood? Is it? I mean,
it was a really good egg.
You did eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
The man ate a poisonous mushroom.
Also,
damn
also,
right he ate the
you
red.
Know what? Yeah, you're right.
Also, when I did a fried egg. And man,
obviously poisonous.
And the hump on that thing. Yeah. It's like some eggs kind of flatten out a little bit more.
Yeah, not that red one.
No, we had a hump. What? And you ate it.
Damn it, Miles.
You know what I mean? Like a hump.
But why did
you eat it? It was like this.
Do you eat moldy bread, too?
It was delicious.
I believe there's nothing wrong with that egg. I'm just maybe there wasn't. I'm just saying, me personally, if I'm at home, I crack an egg, and I'm like, not only is my yolk red, but it was
more red orange. If we're in the Crayola world,
okay. If it's not yellow, I'm just uncomfortable. Now from
it
there,
could be blue and Miles would
my
eat it.
Colorful lump. Stays a lump?
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks, man.
Okay. Red yolk, I'm looking at it.
I mean, I'm with Miles.
Like, you need to eat it?
Yeah.
Even with the lump?
Look, see, this is exactly what it looked like. Yeah. See, that's all. That's it.
I mean,
and do you see what I'm saying as far as how it pops up? Like, it's lumpier. Do you get what I'm saying? See, look.
I do. That's why I didn't eat it. I wouldn't eat it.
I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Why do they look like that? Do they say? Is there an explanation?
It's a green egg, too.
One had a red yolk.
Okay.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola. Hola.
So my wife and I studied improv out in Chicago, and we were part of this group, and we got accepted into this festival in New York. And it was like 2 a.m. We just assumed nobody was going to be at the show, but it was New York.
It's New York, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There were people sitting in the aisles. And so we went backstage and we, you know, it was getting pretty quick to be our group's, time to play. And, Horatio Sands and Amy Poehler were sitting on the couch back there smoking out. And, and they said, "Hey, you guys want some?" And we're like, "Oh no, that's cool. We're about to do a show." And they go, "So are we."
Yeah, but they were. I think I know what show they did.
Yeah. Oh, you should have seen it. So they went out and I don't know if y'all have ever seen, you know, how much improv y'all have seen, but, the stuff they did was like a little bit longer. It wasn't games. It was more scenes. But they had this music would come on with these spotlights and this, or not spotlights, you know, flashing lights and stuff and, this loud music and these people would jump out there. One guy was dressed like a lobster. Another person was like in a crab suit and they're out there dancing around and it would just stop and they'd do a scene. I'm like, okay, I see that. That's why you guys were smoking out. I get it now.
That explains it. Now, when you were in Chicago studying improv, did you ever go to see Second City or any of that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We actually studied at Second City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Does that awesome. still exist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does.
It does.
Oh, for sure. And I want to say, don't they have another, like, a quote-unquote second city that's in New York now?
It's Third City.
Yeah, Third City. But I believe there's another one in New York now. I think so.
I think so. I'm not sure. The one in Chicago even went away almost for just a little bit. And I think a couple people saved it from going. It was, you know, during COVID. And there was all this big stuff that happened with local theaters, people getting accused of, like, just, like, sexual harassment and all this stuff. It was during the Me Too movement. And, you know, the S kind of hit the fan for a lot of these theaters because they got called out for a lot of stuff they should have taken care of. And I think that might have happened with them, you know, and then COVID hit and somebody saved them. So they're still around. They're doing good. I think they stayed out of the fray for the most part with that stuff. But I think a lot of the other theaters got hit pretty hard.
Did you ever do any Second City improv with anyone that we know?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, just so many people run through there. It could be 20 years later, but there they are, right?
I mean, we've seen people like Jack McBrayer and stuff like that back when they were on the stage. We have done a few things here in Seattle with a friend of ours runs Crypticon, which is like the horror movie Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we do a set there for the celebrities, and sometimes people will get up there with us. Dee Wallace got up there one time with us. The guy that plays the Terrifier got up there with us. So we've got to do
Ted, who's like Dee Wallace? Quick. Cool. Where do you know Dee Wallace from? You've seen her a million times.
Porn.
She was in, I want to say she was in The Howling. Wasn't she the mom in Pet Sematary?
She was the mom in Cujo and
Cujo. E.T. Yeah, wow. That's what it is. All right, yeah. She was like and I want to say she was the mom in Lost Boys. Basically.
Oh, really?
If you need a mom in a horror movie.
E.T.
Right. Dee Wallace was
Dee
the mom.
Wallace.
Yeah.
Huh. That just sounds like a black comedian,
right?
That's what I thought, too.
Like a really big dude, you know, 6'5", 280. And it's like,
what does D. Wallace look like?
It's a frail old white chick. Yeah.
Do you think D. Wallace is a bitch?
I would say you'd recognize her as soon as you see her.
Second City, too, because, like, Miles, we would get confused about it. So there's Second City that started in Chicago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then the other one they had was in Toronto. But Second City TV was just the Canadians.
Correct.
Nobody from the Chicago one. Yeah. And then, and you are correct. Now there is a New York office of it.
Yes.
Because Belushi was Chicago.
Right. Farley was Chicago.
Polar, that he brings up.
Right. But then when people hear Second City for years, you just thought of Second City TV with, what's it, Bob and Tom?
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
That's what, Eugene Levy, John Candy.
A bunch of them came
out. Dan Aykroyd.
Mike Myers, what's her name, very funny Carby chick.
What the hell's her name?
Best in Show. She was on Schitt's Creek.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah. Is she?
She's Canadian.
I'm not sure. I think she might be from the SCTV world. I'm not. Does that bother you? That
it apparently does.
She's Canadian. Yeah.
Okay. I'm done watching that show.
Same. Dude. She's from Toronto.
God.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Man.
What's all the hate? All Dana Carvey. He was on there, too.
Dana Carvey, yeah.
Is he Canadian?
Good or bad, yeah. What was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-RON.
Like I say, we're influencing the old Canucks, but...
should have been called Wayne's World, eh?
Notice they're shortening their end zone.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know. I saw that.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
I think... Look, I'm not trying to piss off Mike and Thrill. The minor league football system in America is just very hard to get going.
Sure.
And Canada, outside of, because we have college. And then the Canadian League was kind of always right there. So I think they're trying to make it closer to America.
Are they going
football.
To four downs?
I don't know, but
they're getting rid of
downs.
Like the weird little kick rules. Because remember last year somebody won the Grey Cup. On a punt.
Why are you laughing?
It's like on the Gay Cup.
Yeah.
The Gay Cup?
Yeah, it's the Grey Cup.
Jesus.
And I'm not mature.
Anyone that one, Ted.
Wow.
Yeah. Miles knows he's practicing for today at the doctor's office.
Jesus.
You're going to win it this year, Montgomery.
I'm going all the way.
I got some unknown talent.
They played on that side of the fence.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? That's 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey!
Oh,
hey! Hey.
Speaking of it,
I have a couple of once-in-a-lifetime experiences, but I think my favorite was when I was in Italy and I went to the Ferrari Museum and I drove a Ferrari and I did 220 kilometers an hour,
which is nice. What
180?
Yeah, you're almost pushing 200 miles per hour.
Okay,
damn.
Yeah. Fast, super fast.
I'm assuming they wanted you to do that.
Somebody, oh, yeah, they push you to do it. They're like, go faster, faster. They kind of antagonize you to take corners fast. And
I was going to ask, is it a bank track?
No.
It's flat.
It's all open roads, other cars.
Wow. Jesus.
Okay.
So this is just like a test drive on the road system then.
Yeah, you pay, I think it was like 130 euros for 15 minutes.
Dude, I would do that in a heartbeat. Somebody,
yeah, you have to have somebody with you, but you get a tease of the Ferrari that you want to drive.
What did you pick?
And, you pick the person you want to kill.
Yeah. Which model of Ferrari did you pick?
Well, it wasn't the one I wanted because the one I wanted to ride in was a two-seater, and my uncle wanted to go, so we had to pick the four-seater. So,
a four-seater Ferrari? I don't want the family version of a Ferrari.
It was still fast. It was still like the most exhilarating experience I've ever had in my life. It was great. And the co-pilot guy told me that I drive better than most men that he had rode with. I don't know if that was an insult or
not. Listen, don't believe anything an Italian male tells you.
Says to a woman.
All right, he's trying to hit on you.
We're going to cut out the middleman. What he wanted to say is, I would let you get in your pants.
Yeah.
But either way, he just says it with a compliment.
Scusi.
I don't know a lot of Italian, but I know that. So what are some of your other once-in-a-lifetime experiences?
I swam with whale sharks off of the coast of Mexico.
Wow.
All right.
Now, did you know they were out there, or were you out there swimming and they show up?
No, I actually chartered a boat to go out there and swim with them.
All right, let me ask you this. So I know I know what I have been told, which is that they are docile, but they're also monstrous. Totally. So when you jump in the water
they're
with
massive.
Them, in spite of everyone telling you, hey, man, look, they're about as chill as an animal can possibly be, do you still poop yourself a little when you are literally side by side with this thing?
No, I didn't. My ex-husband, he was a little intimidated, but the shark was the size of our boat, so it was pretty massive. It was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime thing to swim right next to this humongous animal in the sea that was going to do nothing to you.
Did you try to touch it?
They don't care about you.
You trying to touch it?
I did touch it. I wasn't supposed to. I got in trouble.
I know. I know. That's what I was asking.
What does it feel like when you touch a whale shark?
It just kind of feels like touching a fish.
Yeah, they're huge. Okay. I've been within about 30 feet of one.
I have not.
It was kind of weird. Same, probably same place. Yucatan?
Yeah, right off the Yucatan Peninsula.
Were you by Holbox?
Yeah.
By Holbox?
I don't know exactly, but I just know it took us about an hour by a boat to get out there.
Yeah, that's where they are.
All right, that's pretty cool, man. Goddamn. Well, sharks and Ferraris.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK.
I got to drive a couple cool cars when I was working at the auction down there on the lot.
Were you supposed to?
Sure.
Okay.
To a degree.
what do you mean?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I started as a lot driver. I turned into a kind of the photographer, so I would take pictures of the cars to get put them online so they can get sold. And then later on, I became a detailer, and so I drove every car that rolled through there that was in my lane there. The first cool one that I remember is I got to drive a Cadillac limo.
Oh,
all right. It was the craziest damn thing. It was like on sale day. One, the turn radius. They actually limit the turn radius of that thing. So it's only about like a quarter turn that you can make. And then it maxes out.
Huh.
So it was still cool. You know, you're still just driving a Cadillac. But at the same time, it's like, I'm in a limo. This is cool. And then I got to sit in. Did not get to drive this one because they only allow the higher ups for this one. Got to sit in a Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Oh,
that was.
I've been in one of those once.
That was the most amazing experience, dude.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
As I always tell my story, my buddy's father in law picked me up from the airport. He had a Rolls Royce Phantom, right? I mean, it is to describe it as nice is not doing it justice.
No.
Right.
That guy also did 3 years at a federal penitentiary.
There was a handful of really, really nice cars. It was like, yeah, that was a drug dealer. That was a drug seizure.
This idiot bought one, and the only other person in the D.C. area, the entire D.C. area that had one, was Clinton Portis, who played for the Commanders.
Right.
So, obviously, when you buy a vehicle like that, it gets the government's attention.
Yes.
Does anyone that owns a Rolls-Royce drive a Rolls-Royce?
Yes.
He drove his own.
He drove it all. Yeah, he loved it.
Wow. I'm just like everyone I've ever heard of that has a Rolls Royce. Like, I've never been behind the wheel. I just sit in the back.
All right, I will say this. That another person in that family, well, Jerry, right? Jerry Seafood, right? Pretty famous. So Jerry had done well over the years, and he had a Bentley. But it wasn't like the big one. It was like a smaller one. Anyhow, this party at Bernie's, they're all there. Jerry's been known to have a couple cocktails. We got to go get more something. And he's like, Teddy, you drive. And then, I don't know, because he had a couple or whatever, we get out on these roads, and he's like, no, open her up. Go crazy. And I was like, I got it up pretty good, like 115, but even then, I was like,
no.
Right, and this is drive cruising around Bowie.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to crash this
thing. We're in trouble, man.
We are.
Yeah. Right? And he's like, he's just in the back seat. Put it to the floor.
Guy nice. Guy went to high school with, when we were in college, he had somehow acquired a hearse.
Okay.
All right. But you don't realize the gas mileage is terrible. Gas was not expensive at the time. But I can't remember who we went to see. Like Steve Miller in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It was one of those bands. I can't remember. Yes. I don't know who the hell it was. But either way, there was like five people piled in the back of the hearse.
Oh, you got room.
And I just remember like people were just like, we were waving at people when we were, you know, just passing their cars and stuff. They pass us. Because the window's pretty big.
Yeah.
They have curtains, but you can open the curtains.
Right.
So we're back there drinking. But I mean, like, you know, like, we would like, freak people out, like, pop up.
Right.
Hey, surprise.
And lay back down.
God, that would freak me out.
It was just like, it was so stupid. We just thought we were having, it was a blast.
You surprise anybody to freak out, like, wow,
I'm alive. Grab my throat, lay back down. Kids in the back of the car just looking like, oh my God.
Someone dresses up like a demon.
Jesus.
That's not once in a lifetime. There's a very good chance you'll ride in a hearse again.
I will ride in a hearse again. I'm just saying, like, I will never forget that because I was like, I have ridden in a hearse.
Do you have to get a hearse? I mean, could you, in theory, right?
Well,
I got a coffin. Can I put it in the back of my buddy's limo? I mean, pickup truck. Like, would that be illegal?
So here,
Is it illegal? I got a pickup truck. I say, hey, man, my buddy owns a hearse, but I don't know. They got a flat tire, but they need to be at a...
But they're generally like 6 foot or 6 foot
long.
Length.
That's right.
Because I don't know that it would fit in your truck.
I got a Ram 350.
Yeah. You can sit up.
I bungee the back of it.
You can sit up. It's not comfortable, but you can sit up in the back of them.
Yeah.
Like, could you rent a U-Haul?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to get this body from here to there.
To.
The hearse is broken down. It's a small town.
Right.
Right? So my buddy's got a big truck.
Because if you want to have like a Viking funeral, like
you said, small town though, there's got to be some small town where they've just driven a coffin through a town.
Here is the thing that none of us could wrap our head around. In the very back, all right, this was stock. This is the back of the hearse. In the very back, in the back corners, what's back there? Two speakers on each side.
Like for
now,
who?
Now this is at least 10 feet away from the driver.
Yeah, okay? Well, he plays Amazing
Grace. At least 10 feet away from the driver, like. What's this dead guy listening to back here? Like, no, turn to jail, man. I hate country.
Right? You think you just jam back there?
Like, why are there speakers back here?
I'm willing to bet we have a listener that owns a hearse that just drives.
Not for work. Trust me, this guy was that goth guy. I mean, yeah. Back in the day. Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
A question, good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK. Couple more comments. Guys got to sit in the L of the Hollywood sign. Once-in-a-lifetime deal. Another one.
Which L? There's two L's,
there
man.
Are, there are.
One of them is cool. The other one's lame.
Living in England when Zeppelin played their final gig. Ooh. Took a chance on buying a ticket code off eBay and worked two tickets to see their final show.
Damn.
Which was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know that it counts, but he was added after Old Dirty Bastard died. There's a rapper named Capadonna that's part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And once in Baltimore, I don't know what we were doing, but I was hanging out with some dudes and he was there with them. And they were like, you want to hit this blunt? And I said, I can't, man. I'm on bail. And they were like, oh, you a real one. But that he handed me the blunt and I said, I can't, man. Now, they didn't know I didn't smoke weed at the time.
Of course.
But it sounded tough.
Oh, no, you had the perfect response. Loved you, fellas.
What was the guy that passed on that was like,
DMZ.
DMZ. Who was the one?
DMX?
DMX. DMX.
DMZ's demilitarized zone.
I know, demilitarized zone, right.
DMX, who was the one person that was around DMX?
I can't remember who told us the story, but basically.
Oh, no. That's my buddy when he was living in New York City.
All
right. So, he was going to Columbia, and then there, whatever the dorms were. So DMX was hooking up with a girl there. So he's outside. He recognized him. He's smoking a blunt, and he's like, hey, man, like, you're DMX. Like, yeah. And he's like, right? And he's like, can I smoke with you? And he's like, well, listen, I can't hand it to you. What I'm going to do is hand it to my man, Miles. Now, what he does after that is up to him.
Right.
The guy basically just took a puff and handed it to my buddy.
I guess technically.
I did not pass him the weed.
What did that man sound like when he was having sex?
I'm liking this.
Dude, there was probably tears involved. You ever seen some of his performances?
Tell him what you like.
Yep. I mean, he would break down during shows.
Yeah, he was crazy.
Yeah. Guys, he was.
He was legitimately crazy.
I was in the front row of Metallica's show. Once the concert ended, James took off his wristband, looked me dead in the eye, and threw it directly at me.
Nice.
Side note, James has a damn good arm. Here, this is a weird one.
Better if it was a bottle.
I once saw a major flood in my hometown that washed up buried coffins from the cemetery that was along the riverbank. The strong current sent the floating coffins down the river until they crashed against the dam spillway.
Damn. We had that in New Orleans once because all those graves were above ground, right? But we had a big storm. And the way they treated it on the news, apparently this happens plenty. They're like, I can't remember the name of the cemetery. It is directly across the street from Commander's Palace. Noted restaurant. But they're like, man, big storms. Three of the coffins have washed. One was out of a mausoleum. The other two were out of just quote-unquote graves. But, I mean, like, they're chuckling about it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
And, Ted, you can relate to this one, probably. In eighth grade, I went to D.C. for a class trip. We toured the White House. While there, Obama was boarding Air Force Two. And we got to watch him from, like, 15 feet away. Now, whether you like Obama or not, it was cool to see a president so up close. Not many people get to say they've done that. I've never seen a president up close. I went to Ronald Reagan's speech when he was a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
For the president. He ended up being the president.
Yeah. I saw...
But that was still cool to see.
Sure,
that,
man.
I went to Clinton's inauguration, and then I saw Barack Obama towards the end of his second term here in Seattle.
Hey, Ted. Good seeing you.
It was pretty awesome.
I'm here for the weed.
Are you still on parole? Right. I'm going to hit this blunt.
I cannot pass it to you.
I cannot, but I can hand it to Joe. Joe can pass it to you. But he does.
What was his nickname in high school?
Hotbox.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-RUN.
He skips old Barry O.
Gotta love them ribs.
You think he would talk slower when he gets high? Even Stephen Colbert, he was interviewing him. He said, man, you got like this 800-page book. And I realized he also did the audiobook. Colbert's like, based on the way you speak, I figured it was just faster to read it.
Like when George W. and him would lean in and whisper. I know he's like, George, like, hee, I got that blow. You got the weed?
You know I do.
You know I do.
I will say, W is, I know he's, you know, super, what do you call those, new Christians, whatever. But if there was one president I'd want to party with.
Oh,
W. W, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He and his wife.
We're going cake dance. Come on, man.
Hey, we're going to order cheeseburger pizzas. Throw down, watch some cartoons. You know what I mean?
Right.
You see Will and Stimpy.
Well, because remember, he was running, what, in 2000?
Watch his.
Right against Gore?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Was it 2000?
Yeah, it was 2000.
Right. So I remember when you were voting for a Major League All-Star game, on the back was an interview with Al Gore and one with George W. Bush. Very plain questions, right? Yeah. So they said, should baseball be played on grass or turf? Al Gore gives his paragraph-long thing about what you should play on. And W. said, it's baseball. You should play it on grass.
That's it. Yeah.
Pretty simple.
That's the question.
You hear over his house, hey, man, you know what I can do? Let's fire off a rocket.
Right.
Come on, now, get us up to the roof.
Yeah. Hey, watch this. Saudi Arabia's going to think it's coming around. Then watch it bank off in. I can scare it. Scared you.
Yeah. He was famous for having the White Hat cooking staff make him cheeseburger pizza.
Oh, yeah. That was the same.
We're going to get 5 to 10 cheeseburger pizzas. Launch off a rocket.
Hey, Ricky, I got the munchies. Come on.
Right. Like, I don't think he was smoking weed. I don't think he was drinking at that point, but I like his style.
That's just
like,
who he was.
Like, even if I'm not drinking on the weekend, I still want to eat pizza and watch sports.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Not now. UT zone.
Now, listen, I'm going to fire his gun off. They'll be here in 3 seconds. Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-RUN.
See secret tunnel?
I got a secret tunnel.
I don't even know where to go.
You can fly in a helicopter and go get some Lito's pizza.
I just go down there and pee when I can't get to the bathroom. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Okay, so when I was 12 years old, my dad was in the Air Force, and we were stationed in England, and one day his camera crew came to class, and they were doing auditions for this movie. It needed kids with American accents. They were making this movie with Jodie Foster and Scott Baio called Bugsy Malone.
Oh, God, I remember that movie.
What a cast.
Do you remember Bugsy Malone?
I remember Scott Baio.
It was it's like kids is gangsters.
Gangsters.
But when they fired their automatic weapons, it was cream pies. There was massacres, but I mean, just getting hit with whipped cream. As a kid, I thought that movie was awesome.
Well, I didn't get that part, but the casting director of the person said to go to audition for this other movie. And so me and this buddy of mine took the train down into London did the audition, and when we're done, we went to the only McDonald's that was in England at the time, down in London, where it had like 12 registers that were all open, all with lines to the door. I mean, it was packed, and mostly with Americans getting their McDonald's fix.
Yep.
But we got picked for this movie that was being made about Teddy Roosevelt, that the working title, I think, was Lying in the White House or something. And Teddy Roosevelt, I guess, was a boxer when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they picked me and the other kids to be the crowd at this boxing match with this young Teddy Roosevelt kid. And so we got had to get old 1800-style haircuts and wear 1800-style clothes. And the one thing I remember about was one of the crew members had a birthday party. So there was cake and champagne, which they just left on the table in a bunch of cups, all poured out. And me and the other kids were like, oh, look, champagne. And so we helped ourselves. And, I got 10 pounds for the day, got to miss a day of school.
And got drunk, yes.
Yes. And I never got to see if they kept the scene that I was in where the director realized that the opponent of Teddy Roosevelt that gets knocked out, he didn't have anyone in his corner, so they asked all of us if somebody wanted to be in the corner, and I said, sure. And then they wanted to do a scene where I'm talking to the boxer, and I'm just improvising, talking a bunch of, you know, stuff that I...
You need to give him an uppercut, see?
Yeah, he's a lot shorter than you, so don't let him get inside. Keep jabbing him.
So what, you never saw the movie?
No, because we got transferred back to America before it came out. So I never got to see the
movie. You tried to look for it since? I mean, with IMDb?
Yeah, surely it's going to be somewhere.
Yeah, I guess. But again, all I remember was the working title. And that I don't even remember who the stars were. You know, who played who or whatever.
You remember Scott Baio and what's-her-face there? Clarice, what the hell's her name?
Jodie Foster.
But you can't remember. And that's the movie you didn't get into. All right.
Yeah, that's the movie you didn't get into. Like I said, I just remember the working title was Lying in the White House. And it was a British production about, you know, Teddy Roosevelt.
All right.
And so, yeah, I guess I could. I tried looking it up, but I don't know, again, the title of it. I remember the year was 1976. And I guess if I did some sleuthing, I could find out. But yeah,
in the modern internet age, I think you could probably track that down.
Seems like it'd be easier now.
Going back a little bit, you saw this movie, Bugsy Malone?
I did. I saw it was part of a double feature, and I don't remember if it was like linked up with Jaws 2 or something, but my parents, I had a bunch of cousins in town too, so the memory's fairly fuzzy. But I do remember actively because I'd never heard of the movie. I didn't know what it was about. But again, as a kid, at the end of the movie, we were like, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. And then whatever the main feature was, which was a regular feature film, I think we were just like, yeah, it was okay. What year did it come out? Does it say?
76.
Yeah, so I'd have been seven years old.
I'm an adult, so I'm just like, who said let's make a comedy musical with children as gangsters?
Dude, that is absolutely what it is. So it mimicked like Al Capone days, right? Yeah. And I mean, like they would go, there'd be a restaurant full of these kids, but they're all wearing tuxes, right? I mean, they look like kids because they are children, but they're dressed as adults, like mobsters. And like there'd be a restaurant scene, typical Italian restaurant scene, everyone's in there eating, and someone goes, oh no, because the door opens, and like eight dudes roll in with Tommy guns.
There's like showgirls.
And light the restaurant up. But it's all whipped cream. I'm telling you, man. It was a crazy movie.
I'm just like,
but I thought it was awesome.
I'll find it for you. But I was like, who is... Oh, look. They're all just kids.
Ted, get stoned and watch it.
Yeah, I get it. The whole thing.
I have gangster movies. This is that. It is a gangster movie.
I've just never heard of it. And then I'm like, I thought maybe there'd be... Like, there's no adults. It's just kids.
No, it's all kids.
And then, the guns just shoot like...
whipped cream.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, I know how dumb it sounds, and it is that dumb, but it was a fantastic movie when I was a kid. Yeah, Bugsy Malone.
Look at this, Miles. It turns into a whole shootout.
Jesus Christ.
You got Fat Sam throwing pies at people?
Oh, dude, like I said, it's if whipped cream is violent, it was a very violent movie.
That's awesome.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-RIDE.
Everybody, listen to me. If you smoke weed, watch Bugsy Malone. If you don't smoke weed and have kids, sit down and watch Bugsy Malone with your kids.
Or do both.
Or do both.
Watch it stone and then watch it with the kids.
Yeah.
I'll just take a sneak outside real quick.
Yeah.
Walk the dog. Come back. Start the movie.
Mary Maiden, I've done that last night. My daughter wanted me to watch this anime show that she loves. I cannot tell you the name. She told me the name like 8 times, and I'm still like, every time she said it, I'm like, bless you. I have no idea what it's called. I may have been a little buzzed up when I watched it, but it made me appreciate it more.
Sailor Moon?
Bruh, it's nothing like that.
Oh.
Because I'm like, what's that? She's like, Nunga Chao. I'm like, what is that again? And she said it seriously like 3 times. And then I even read the title.
My daughter would know it.
I guarantee you.
Anyway, it's big.
It's huge. And my daughter's all about it, man. But this is just the one that she wanted me to watch. And it was fine. We watched 3 episodes.
And subtitles? To bed.
Okay, so this is the weird thing about it. There were subtitles, but it was also dubbed over in English.
All right.
But we couldn't turn the subtitles off. So I'm like, so this has been dubbed over in English, but I still have English subtitles, which is kind of stupid. But there it was. It was fine.
Good or bad, what was your once-in-a-lifetime experience? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
So you guys were talking earlier about double yokes and everything, and I just want to quickly say that 210 kilometers is 130 miles per hour.
130. Sure. All right.
We were giving her too much credit.
I like the way you segue double yokes into that.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about double yokes, so I just want to tell you, kilometers to mile per hour ratio.
Yeah.
Great segue.
She called in right after the W.
Oh, okay.
So we had chickens during COVID. It was a COVID project. And the second round of chickens, we got Rhode Island Red, and we had this one chicken for 2 months that would lay double yolks. So all she did was lay double yolks. And then 2 months in, we cracked a triple yolk.
You got a triple yoker?
A triple yolk, which is 1 in 25 million.
Wow.
It was pretty wild. Pretty wild. And right after that triple yolk, she stopped laying double yolks. Never saw a triple yolk.
I was going to say, if really, I would almost stopped and let her actually, you know, raise the kid. I mean, if you're getting double yolks all the time, man, you're going to get a lot of peeps out of that deal.
Yeah, I wanted to sell the chicken, but my kids and wife were against it. So.
How much do you think you could have gotten for this double yolk laying egg laying chicken?
I don't know. I was going to just put it on the internet and see what came up.
But I'm pretty sure chickens that lay eggs that you eat are different than laying hens.
Maybe.
I don't know that.
There's some difference in the
world.
But did you ever, like, talk to a veterinarian or anything to say, like, why does this particular chicken keep dropping the double yolks?
No. No, my kids and my wife really loved having the chickens, and I was raised with chickens, and, you know, they kind of just come and go, and I never got attached to them, but my kids would name them and everything, and it was, we eventually got rid of all the chickens because they started eating all their own eggs.
They started eating their own eggs?
Gross chickens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
is that normal?
No, it's not normal, but as soon as they get, like, as soon as one of them gets the taste for it, then they realize that they don't need any food and all they need is water. And
so you got cannibal chickens?
Yeah.
And that's not normal. That's weird.
See,
man.
I would be afraid to eat the eggs from the cannibal chickens.
Why? What'd be wrong with
that? Well, because, okay, all right. Like, just like if you die and I eat you.
Yes.
All right, that's weird. Okay, then
it's weird, but if Ted wanted to eat you, would Ted say, look, the only reason I'm not going to eat
you
Miles
might catch something because I've been eating Steve. Now, if you're going to eat me, you're going to eat what I've been eating, which is Steve.
I don't know. I'm confused.
So you're
not related to him.
No. Wow. I'm just eating him.
Yeah.
And then you eat me.
So it'd be different if Miles ate one of his own daughters.
Yeah.
So you're a cannibal. You're going to eat Miles. But you find out that Miles ate one of his daughters. You're not going to eat
him. That's over the line, dude. Those are his kids.
But you find out he ate me, and it's still game on.
Correct. That's logical thinking, boys.
All right.
It's a weird conversation we're having.
Well, I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. I've never been in a cannibalism situation where I have to go, well, I would eat Miles, but hey, one of his own kids, dude. This isn't.
That's why some of those animals I can't get down with.
Like what?
Like lions will do it.
Yeah.
But I thought lions ate other lions young. So the idea, you're the male lion, right? And then I come into town, you and I fight, I end up winning. You've had a couple of cubs. Like, I'm going to eat your cubs.
I think the female lion sometimes has to get his own kids away from her. He'll just eat them.
Mm-hmm. Does he eat his own kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
That's ruthless out there in the lion world, man.
You didn't see that, Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Do you have any children? I did.
Because he was a coward.
But I hate him.
I couldn't hunt on my own, so I hunted my own. I'm a coward.
If I were king of the forest, I would not eat my own children.
Scar did.
Yeah.
Here's a couple more quick comments before we take one more phone call. Ran with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain, in 2008, in the local newspaper. Showed me running beside a bull.
That would not be a good face.
No. The 2014 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony watched a Nirvana get inducted.
Nice.
Huh. Okay. Which is pretty cool. One we can relate to, setting a foot in Dachau. One of the first concentration camps and getting that numb, empty feeling of sadness.
I don't want to ever do that again.
We did.
Dachau's horrible. And it's the home of the SS. It was brutal.
It was super brutal. And the way came from the advocates, he was kind enough to set it all up. And I know he was not projecting ahead, but we kind of had a tight schedule because we were there for a little bit of time, blah, blah, blah. So we go to Dachau, and then it's like, all right, guys, we're going to lunch. And I'm like,
I'm hungry. I'm going to be hungry for days.
I am not feeling hungry right now.
I don't even want a beer.
I know. Just
I was ready for a beer.
I just want to talk to my mom and drink.
Love you.
Yeah.
So to come to a turn of Who Sucks Less on the way at 4:30, and we've got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.